Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for sticking here on Working Title here on CGLO 1690 AM. So, Cleo, tell me more about this art heist.
Yes. So, it is 1990. It is Sunday, March 18th. It is, St. Patty's Day shenanigans are still taking place.
Cool. At Boston. That's a big, Boston, big city for it.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
So, basically, the thieves were first witnessed around 12:30 AM by a bunch of, St. Patty's Day partiers.
Cool. The best witnesses.
And exactly, really solid, no room for any error at all. They're like, we saw these two guys. They were disguised as police officers and parked in a hatchback. Okay. About 100 feet from the
side entrance. 80s, right? 90s.
So everybody thought they were policemen. They looked like policemen. So the museum, there were two guards on duty. Rick Abath, who was aged... Okay. 23, and Randy Hested, age 25.
How did the Bath get a job at a security? I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. No, I just said
terrible.
I'll be here all week.
So Rick was a regular night watchman, and it was Randy's first time on the night shift.
Oh, poor Randy.
Poor Randy. I know, this poor guy, the first time he freaking works the evening shift.
Oh, God. Awful. Not just a robbery. The biggest art heist,
in history up to that point, gets tied up. Oh, like, God. Awful, awful day for Randy.
Poor guy.
I know, 25, just, trying to make
poor
ends
guy.
Meet.
Literally, one of us.
Literally, the other guy's 23. That's actually how old I am.
Oh, my God.
So, basically, one guard would patrol the galleries with, a flashlight and walkie-talkie, and the other one was at the security desk.
Sure.
So, during the first patrol, which was Rick, there were fire alarms that sounded off in different rooms, but he couldn't locate any smoke. And he went back and the panel showed that there was smoke, but he assumed it was some type of malfunction and shut it down.
Okay.
And then he went back on patrol and he completed his rounds. He made a quick stop at the side entrance of the museum. He briefly opened the door and shut it again. And he didn't tell the other guy that he was doing this or why he was doing it. And this was a kind of cause for people to
It sounds like an inside man.
Yeah, you're why would he open that door?
Yeah.
And then he returned to the desk around 1 AM and then they switch. And so at around 1:20, the thieves drive up to the side entrance, which is the door that Rick had opened and closed.
Yeah.
Park, walk up to the side door, and they ring the buzzer, which connect them to Rick at the front desk. They say that they're police, they're investigating a disturbance, buzz them in. And he could see that they were wearing
uniforms.
He thought they really looked like real police, and so he lets them in 5 minutes later. But it is, this also was contested a little bit afterwards and being it wasn't a regular thing to just let
people in the back door. You'd have to come. Yeah.
To police to be even investigating a disturbance. Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like maybe that guy left it unlocked and they knew they were going to come there and the police is almost their cover.
Yeah.
For why he let them in.
Exactly. So weird. he radios Randy, the other guard, and is like, hey, come back to the desk, there's police here, whatever.
Yeah.
And there's two thieves, there's a shorter one and a taller one.
Okay.
And they basically tell Rick that they may have a warrant for his arrest and to come out from behind the desk and provide identification. Which is
security 101.
Don't come away from the desk. It's obviously where the only button is.
For sure.
And so he does it. And then
they overpower him.
Yeah, they handcuff him. They don't frisk him. And then they're like, we're going to rob the museum. The other guy was back at this point. They handcuff him as well.
I appreciate them telling them what was up.
Yeah, we're robbing you. We're not cops. We gotcha. So they wrapped duct tape around their heads and their eyes. Without asking for directions, they brought them right down to the basement. It took them less than 15 minutes to subdue the guard. So it's 1:35.
Yeah, okay.
We'll check back in from there.
1:35. Okay. Yeah, because you said it was 81 minutes is the whole start
It's
to
like
finish.
The whole,
from the moment
they
got in through the buzzer.
I think
so. Is that when the clock starts?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay, cool. Cool. So what songs do we have coming up?
So next up we have The Bleach Ballroom by Idols. It's off their new album. I love Idols so much. They are amazing. And then Everything Stops by Hot Garbage. They're also Canadian and also a new song.
I love that name. I was listening to it. I was like, Hot Garbage? Like,
and the vibe of the band fits.
Exactly. Yeah. That was it. I was listening to them. The vibe like fits so well. So,
for sure.
So we got The Beachland Ballroom and Everything Stops coming up right here on Working Title. Don't touch that dial and stay right here on CGLO 1690 AM.
Thank you.
All right, and we're back. So, Cleo, it was 1:30?
1:35. About 1:35.
Okay. So 15 minutes in.
15 minutes in, both guards in the basement, duct tape covered their eyes, like everything.
Yeah, okay.
So the thieves go back up to the museum, and it's laid out in a particular way, but we don't have enough time to really get into the intensity of, you know, all the different rooms and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The most valuable paintings were held in the Dutch room.
Okay.
And so the thieves go there first, and a device began beeping that would normally, you know, go off when somebody was standing too close to a painting.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And so they smash it, and then they took, I think the first painting they took was The Storm on the Sea of Galilee and A Lady and Gentleman in Black. And
okay.
Storm on the Sea of Galilee was the only seascape ever painted by Rembrandt, so it was, like, very valuable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they threw them on the floor, which shattered the frames.
Oh, my God. Which the frames, I feel like, are half of the value.
Yeah, well, sorry. Those things, yeah, right? They, like, shattered the glass frames, and then they take a blade.
Oh, that, just... yeah. Well, that's how you steal art.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Because I was saying, yeah.
No, they cut the canvases out of their stretchers.
Exactly. Okay.
So they're like, whoever was doing the job knew how to steal art. Yeah.
Like it was an Ocean's level job.
Yeah. They like were, they were. Yeah, they yeah, knew. Maybe, what, they yeah, knew yeah. how to get to the basement of the museum with no direction.
Like it was planned.
Knew, yeah.
Like
exactly.
They probably had been there as patrons, you know, prior.
They definitely cased the place in some way.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they also removed like a really big self-portrait by Rembrandt, but they left it because it was, I think, too heavy.
Oh, yeah.
To transport, and it was like a wood frame. The other ones were glass, whatever. So at 1:51 a.m., while one thief continued working in the Dutch room, the other entered a place called the Short Gallery on the other end of the second floor, and they began removing screws from a thing displaying a Napoleonic flag, but they gave up halfway through.
Okay.
And instead took an eagle finial that was on top of the flagpole, which wasn't incredibly valuable.
Yeah, but it was probably one of those flags that like hung off the back of like a ship or something.
Yeah, something.
Like, giant like French flags.
Yeah. And they took 5 Degas sketches. The last work stolen was Chez Tortoni from the blue room on the first floor.
So they like knew which paintings to go for.
It's very specific paintings, but they also left multiple paintings that were way more valuable. Yeah. And then they took a Chinese gu, which was like an ancient like wine serving vessel that wasn't incredibly, it was very old.
So they had somebody specifically hired them
things.
To spit.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Wow.
So yeah, the museum's motion detectors did not detect any motion within the blue room during the thieves' time in the building. The only footsteps detected in the room that night were Rick Abath's.
Yeah,
during the 2 times that he passed through the gallery on his patrol earlier.
And did they at any point cut the, like they didn't at any point like fiddle with the alarms?
No, they smashed the first one when they got into the Dutch room, but other than that, not really.
So someone else was either messing with the alarms or they had help.
Yeah, like it's very fishy.
Yeah, very fishy.
And so as they prepared to leave, they checked in on the guards one last time and they asked if they were comfortable, which is really funny.
Good hostage takers.
Yeah, and they moved to the security director's office where they took the video cassettes that recorded their entrance. And the data printouts from the motion detecting equipment.
Yeah.
It was still captured on a hard drive, which remained untouched, but they left the frame for the last painting that they took at the security director's desk. And then they moved to take the artwork at the museum. The side entrance doors were opened once at 2:40 a.m. and again for the last time at 2:45. So the robbery lasted 81 minutes start to finish.
Yeah.
Which is pretty freaking impressive to go in.
Yeah, like, no, well, so they obviously had a plan. They knew what they were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, either this security guard gullibly helped them out or they had some sort of, like, hacker guy in a chair.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I know.
Cutting alarms.
it's very, like, National Treasure
to
me.
Yeah. Or, like, just, like, an ocean, like, literally Ocean's 12 is when there's, like, a whole... They're stealing paintings, but like the security person that was trying to hunt them knew that they were going to steal the paintings, and they put cameras in the paintings. Oh, so nice. They knew his whole crew because they had videos of all of them cutting the paintings. Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Yeah, I've never seen Ocean's 12.
So. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, so there were a lot of things about it that were quite fishy. Mm-hmm. But before we get into any theories of what might have happened, we have another...
Yeah. Oh, this is another great band name. So It's Too High by Visibly Choked.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this, amazing. Yeah, I was listening to them. They sound hilarious.
Yeah.
Sound
also good. Canadian, also new, also yeah. Thanks to Calvin.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Calvin. Our Lord and Savior for our CanCon. But yeah, so we're going to hit you guys with that, and we'll come back with a bit more of this story, and then we're going to hit you with another ad break. So don't touch that dial. I know I always say that, but stay right
don't
here.
Don't touch it.
Yeah, don't touch it. You stay,
don't go anywhere.
Stay right here on Working Title. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. That was just Too High by Visibly Choked. Again, great name.
Amazing name.
So we had just finished the heist. But yes. We got some theories?
Yeah, we have a few theories. I'm not going to go into... There's quite a few because it is sort of unsolved. So I'm not going to go into all of them.
It's the biggest one ever. I'm sure everybody and their mom had something to say about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, but they... And yeah, just the most... valuable works were taken from the Dutch room. And just a few examples, the concert by Dutch painter Vermeer, one of only 34 paintings that he's ever done. It accounts for half of the hall's value, estimated at 250 million in 2015. So
yeah,
crazy. Experts, whoever they are, believe it may be the most valuable stolen object in the world.
Okay.
While some of the paintings were valuable, the thieves passed on other really valuable works by Raphael, Botticelli, Michelangelo, and just sort of left them and opted to take relatively valueless items like the goo and the finial.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, the selection of works and the brutish ways that the thieves handled the artwork had led investigators to believe that they were not experts commissioned to steal particular works.
Oh, really?
Which is interesting because yeah. I feel like there was a very specific nature to what they were trying to take.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
Even if it seemed haphazard, it was, like, somebody's yeah. personal wants
like, the fact that they... Well, I'm saying, like, the fact that they went after the flag and gave up, you know, sounds to me like, you know, somebody was, like... You know, like, they had a shopping list.
Yeah, literally, try for these things, and if you can't get them, like, focus or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, they didn't leave behind any footprints or hair and no fingerprint evidence, so... Yeah,
so it's like they had to have been smart in some capacity.
Yeah, yeah, obviously they were thieves of some kind. Yeah. Whether they were particularly art thieves, maybe different, but...
Sure.
Yeah, so our friend Rick, 23-year-old Rick, who, when you, like, watch him in the Netflix show, he's... Just seems kind of like a stoner, like real chill.
Yeah, whatever.
So he was investigated early on just because of his behavior.
Yeah, sure.
He maintains his innocence, and the FBI agent overseeing the case in its early years determined the guards were too incompetent and foolish
These guys are idiots.
Like, yeah, they can't be in on it. They're too stupid.
I believe this guy opened the goddamn door for some dumb reason.
Exactly.
Like to throw out his J.
Literally, to flick or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in 2015, there was a security video from the museum on the night before the heist that Rick had buzzed in this guy into the museum to, like, have a conversation at the security desk. And he told people that he couldn't remember the incident and he didn't recognize who the guy was. And then they, like, asked the public or whatever, and several former museum guards came forward and said that it was his boss. The deputy security chief.
That's so funny.
He was like, I don't even know who this guy is.
Who's this guy? That's fucking funny.
Oh my god, it was so funny.
Well, dude, you look suspicious because you're a moron.
Yeah, you know? And you, like, have long hair and, like, don't know anything that's going on and have no idea.
No, jeez.
But yeah, he was concluded to be innocent.
Yeah.
And he does, like, he is willing in the show to, like, do the interview and stuff, which is really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, there were some speculations on the Boston Mafia because they were going through, like, a kind of
Whitey
war
Bulger
at the a war at the time, and there was kind of a gangster that they thought might have Bobby Donati, who might have organized it to negotiate for his capo's release from prison. He was murdered a year after the robbery, so that was an option. But in 2013 March, the FBI announced significant progress, and they reported with a high degree of confidence that they identified the thieves, which they believed were members of a criminal organization based in the mid-Atlantic and New England. And they also felt with the same confidence that the artwork was transported to Connecticut and Philadelphia in the years following the theft, with an attempted sale in Philadelphia in 2002.
Interesting.
And their knowledge of what happened after that is limited, and they requested the public's help to locate and return the artwork. But in 2015, they also stated that both thieves were deceased. And so they never publicly identified any individuals, but said they were associated with a gang from Dorchester.
Yeah, I guess do with that what you will. But yeah, so it's like they never figured out where these guys came from, eh? That's so wild.
Not really, no. Yeah, no conclusive kind of picture to a name or anything like that to get.
I don't know, those, like, random specific items make it seem like to me that they had somebody who...
And it's just fun to imagine it was something more mysterious. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, so we're going to hit you guys with another ad break before we get to the end of our show. We'll have Cleo wrap up anything else she has to say about our heist, and then we're going to send you off into the weekend as always. So stay tuned. We're going to be listening to this ad break, and then we'll be right back with some more Working Title here on CGLO 1690 AM.